want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for love.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. You know, just to kind of dovetail on an ad you heard for a Virtual Shield, it is the real deal, folks, and I can get you a discount on that. If you use my name in the coupon box, you can take 20% off, and you can get started for as low as $4.95. I mean, it is. I don't know how they're making money. I really don't. But the stuff has been put together by ex-Intel guys, and we're trying to get them to come on the show, but they want to stay in the shadows, and I'll continue to try to work on that. But anyway, Virtual Shield, 20% off if you use my name, Hodges, in the coupon code. Well, we have an action-packed show for you this evening. Up first, in just a moment, we'll be joined by my old friend Dr. Ted Brower from Health Masters, and they're the reason I'm walking upright, and I'll elaborate on that a little bit more later. Second hour, we're going to be joined by an ex-NSA agent. You've heard him before here on this show, Vance Davis, someone who I've known for 25 years. And he has some very interesting things to say about the Trump administration, Jeff Sessions, and the state of affairs involving Korea. And in hour number three, we're going to revisit with Virginia Farver in a pre-record that I did, where Virginia Farver is talking about just how far the 5G is going to go and what it's exactly going to do to you. It's bad, bad news, folks. When you listen to this report, in fact, Mike Adams ran something on this, and I ran it up on my website. You can't have electronic device near you in your sleep that's closer than arm's length. And they've talked about the studies that talk about cancer development and so forth. Anyway, we're going to hit all that in hour number three. Well, we're brought to you by Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash, because it's a matter of time, folks. It's not if, it's when. The economy collapses because of the tremendous debt. Are you going to be ready? Well, the one thing that's going to come out on the other side is gold. Gold holds its value. Steve Quayle, no pressure sales, and honestly, if it's not right for you, he will tell you, go buy food. So how do you get a hold of Steve for this no-cost, free analysis of whether or not this is right for you? Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And we're also sponsored by Health Masters. Health Masters is the reason I'm walking upright. I said I'd come back to this. Ruptured disc in my lower back, and Dr. Ted was out of the country. I didn't know I could get a hold of him, although later I found out I could have. And I was in agony for 5 days until he came back. And all I do is apply the stuff that they have at Health Masters. And today, I'm back to full activity, and I'm not contemplating physical therapy, surgery, or any other medical intervention. And you've heard me talk about my MCL that was torn, partially torn, 3 years ago. I took the joint supplements that you heard Austin talking about in the replay last hour. That's Austin Brower, you know, Ted's son. Great stuff. And you've heard Doug Hagman talk about blood sugar protocols. It's absolutely fantastic. Healthmasters.com is the place to go. And you can take 5% off your purchase with the coupon code 5, that's the number 5, 5 common. That's healthmasters.com, and the code is 5 common. Well, Ted Brower is no stranger to both this network here at Global Star that we broadcast on, and also to our listening audience. He's a frequent guest, and for good reason. He keeps bringing us great information. Ted, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us.
Dave, I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I've got some really exciting news. We had a lady over in basically London who had a problem with blood cancer, and she ended up using, she had already gone through like two or three sessions of chemotherapy with it, had not helped, and now she's been cancer-free, and what she's done is, she's, the only thing she's used now is turmeric, which we talked about many, many times. I helped Katie with that when she was having with her breast cancer. She worked with that doctor out there in Colorado and got an alternative protocol going. And what was interesting is this lady now has been cancer-free for 5 years, and the British Medical Journal Lancet actually reported on this. And it's like the first time that I know that a natural product has ever been touted for its ability to stop cancer. They won't go as far as saying it cured the cancer, but they'll say she's been cancer-free for the past 5 years and the chemotherapy wasn't working. So I would just give you guys a note of encouragement out there. If you've got a health problem, a health issue, there probably is a natural protocol that you can follow to do things for your health to make it better. I know people, if they want to maintain normal blood pressure, normal blood sugar, if they want to have healthy joints, if they want to have a healthy immune system, there's all kinds of protocols that we put together at the healthmasters.com website. And guys, just for the first of the year, for the New Year's resolutions, that's why Dave wanted me to come on tonight. It's so important that we realize that we make our health, you know, a priority. We don't want to, like, treat it like it's standard equipment in an automobile and ignore it until it goes away. I remember a couple years ago, Dave, I had a guy call me from Africa. And he was there with a billionaire. I mean, the guy was worth over $100 million. I guess that would be $1,000 million. And it was interesting to me. He ended up coming out with cancer. And the guy called me up and said, you know, are there any supplements that I can get for my immune system? And I said, well, sure. I said, I'm not going to, you know, tell you it's going to cure your cancer. You have to work with a doctor to do that. There's supplements you can't take for the immune system. And the guy's a billionaire, worth, you know, $1,000 million. And he didn't want to take any supplements because he didn't want to spend any money for the shipping to get to Africa. And, of course, he was dead, you know, I guess about 2 months later, Dave. And the sad part about it is, bud, I mean, you see this all of the time. People will spend their entire fortune pursuing, you know, protocols that the medical association gives them with no results in many cases. And yet when somebody offers them an alternative therapy, they have no interest in trying it because they've been told by their friends that it may not work. Well, he's dead. How'd that work out for him, Dave? And that's how I look at everything, is that we need to take the least invasive approach first. In other words, if you have a child that's been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, the first thing they want to do with that child, in almost every single case, is put that child on Adderall or Ritalin. Now, these are Schedule II drugs, Schedule II amphetamine drugs, in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. These are super strong drugs for a condition that in many cases they can be corrected through dietary change, stabilization of blood sugar, getting off of red dyes and blue dyes. And the sad part about it is, to me, Dave, is that people don't realize how important it is to eat right kind of foods, especially for kids who have been diagnosed with different types of conditions such as that. What I've learned over the years is this. The vast majority of people in the country, in the United States, they don't even realize that the U.S. is leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer. And the leading cause of death in children age 14 and under, other than accidents, is cancer. They don't get any of that because they haven't read that in a mainstream periodical, even though it's all very true. These are Center for Disease Control statistics coming out. And the sad part about all of it is, Dave, is when you start talking to them about eating clean or taking supplements, if they take it to their medical professional, who may have never had a single class of nutrition, it's buffoon. Give you another example. A good friend of mine who's an athletic coach here at a local university, he had elevated blood pressure. And I said to him, I said, well, there's some natural things you can take to bring your blood pressure down. And he said, what are they? So I told him. And he, you know, healthy blood pressure protocol. And he tried the program. He went back to the doctor, and the blood pressure was down to normal. And then all of a sudden his friends start telling him, oh, you don't need this vitamin, you don't need that vitamin, it's just expensive urine. You don't need to take any of this stuff. And he asked me, he says, Ted, why do people say stuff like that? And I said, well, it's simple. You know, medical professionals have been taught that you get everything you need from the food that you eat. That's what they've been taught. You get all the vitamins, minerals, essential fats, and proteins from the food that you need, that you eat. The problem is the food that we eat in the United States has been denatured. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. If the crops only require several base nutrients in order to be successfully harvested, they have to add a lot of trace minerals into the soil also to get the trace minerals into the food. If the trace minerals aren't available in the soil, then they're not going to be in your food. So hence the 100 or so trace minerals, amino acids, all the different things that we have to have, and vitamins that we have to have, we don't get those in the food. Therefore, even though we're eating the food, they're simply not available because they weren't in the soil to begin with. That's the biggest misnomer that people have. They say, well, all you have is expensive urine. Well, no, it's like your health insurance. Let's say you spend $100 a month on supplements, okay? You know, bottle of multiple for four people. That's about what that would cost. And you say, well, that's expensive. Well, it's $100. You know, it's like a pair of tennis shoes or whatever. And what's funny about that is, even if you spend $100 and you never come down with any diseases, people still say that's expensive. My response is always this, Dave, compared to what? Compared to heart disease, compared to diabetes, compared to cancer. I had a lady call me up, gosh, it's been 25 years ago now, and she had her husband had just undergone quadruple bypass surgery, and he had been basically debilitated, couldn't work, couldn't go back to work, anything. And she calls me up, and she like orders all of my CD sets. And I think back to when CD back then was audio cassettes. She came in and ordered all of the audio cassettes that we had on all the different topics on heart disease, diabetes, cancer, eat, drink, and be healthy, all of these programs that we had, and it was beautiful, $500 or $600. And I said to her, I said, are you sure you want to spend this much? Because I was making sure that, you know, she could afford it. I wanted to start buying a bunch of product. And she goes, Ted, I've just spent $200,000 in out-of-pocket expenses on my husband as far as with what happened to us with his surgery because we didn't have health insurance. She goes, this is cheap. This is really cheap. And I said, well, I guess compared to $200,000, it is cheap. But guys, it's so important to understand. Your health has to be treated such. Now, as far as discipline and all these different things, we're going to talk about that for just a second, New Year's resolutions. You know, the whole thing about it is you have to set incremental goals. If you are 100 pounds overweight, don't put on your goal chart or your goals board, if you have one set up on your refrigerator in your kitchen or in your bedroom, don't put on there, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Put on there, I'm going to lose 8 pounds this month. So, you know, by the end of, you know, February the 10th, I'm going to lose 8 pounds. And you say, well, why would you put that 8 pounds instead of 100 pounds? Well, 100 pounds is a pretty big goal, and a lot of people get overwhelmed by that, Dave, but, you know, 2 pounds a week?
Yeah, that's
doable.
That's very doable. Right.
And that's what we call incremental goal. And you set up the 2 pounds a week, and you say, I'm just going to lose 2 pounds a week. That's my goal for the year, is to lose 2 pounds a week. And pretty soon you're looking down, and you're 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 80 pounds, 100 pounds over what, you know, lost the weight. It's been a year. And the whole key is you don't want to change your diet via calorie deprivation. You want to eat as much food as you want. And that's what we do in Sharon's new book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. It's available on our website. It's also available on Kindle for like $9.95 if you want to get it on Amazon. And what it does, it teaches you how to eat the right foods from now on, not change your diet via calorie deprivation, but change your diet via the food you buy and eat. See, if you eat certain types of food that have made you gain a whole bunch of weight over the years, why do you think if you keep eating those types of food, you're going to lose weight? It doesn't work that way. You've got to change the way you look at food. You've got to change the way you look at calories. You've got to change the way you look at everything. In fact, what I always tell people to start with is this. Take your ideal body weight. So if you want to be 180 pounds and you're a guy, times it by 10. So that's 1,800 calories a day divided by 6. That'd be 6 300-calorie meals per day. Now, what that does, that allows you the ability to utilize the calories more efficiently, not spike your insulin, and not store these extra calories as fat. And also, I recommend you take several supplements along with that. You can take our CLA, a true fat burner. You can take our MCT oil, which is a medium-chain triglyceride oil from coconut oil, which really helps you to burn fat and really helps to push the HDL cholesterol up. You can take those two products along with our HGH Stimulate, which helps to burn body fat, and just go on that type of calorie reduction. Use the recipes out of Sharon's book. We've made it so easy for you now. And eat 6 small meals a day so you stay full and satisfied all day long. Now, if you blow at one meal and you gorge yourself on a half dozen peanut butter, chocolate chip cookies or whatever, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just go back to the next meal, eat right again. Don't skip the next meal. Just eat it again. Another 300 calories. And what'll happen is you'll eventually find out you won't be breaking it by eating a bunch of junk food. And the best way not to eat that junk food, guys, I'm just going to give you a little hint. This is how we do it at the Brower household. Keep the stuff out of your house. I can tell you right now, if I had Haagen-Dazs ice cream in my freezer right now, I'd probably be in there eating some of it, you know what I'm saying? But I don't do that. We just don't buy that stuff. And every once in a while, we'll go out and have an ice cream bar, a Haagen-Dazs ice cream bar, or something like that, or an organic bar. But we don't bring the stuff back and leave it in the house and leave it in the refrigerator day for later sittings and eatings and, you know, gorgings or whatever you want to call it.
You're right on the money, Ted, because I'll tell you, if my wife buys it, I'll eat it, and I tell her that. And we're through the holidays, so the Hodges family is back into our normal routine where those cakes and pies come to satisfy the company you get. They're no longer here. And you know, the good news is, Ted, I lost some weight prior to Thanksgiving, and I pretty well maintained through the holidays. So I'm happy with myself. I think I gained a total of 2 pounds.
If you can get through the holidays and only gain 2 pounds, you're a blessed man. On the average, in the United States, people gain about 8 pounds during the holidays. And that's what we do. We try to help people to feel good, look good. You know, people always ask, what do you do for a living, Ted? And I'm like, I always tell them, I'm in the people helping business. And they say, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, we teach people how to feel good and have a lot of energy. I mean, I'm 62 years old. I've got top mental acuity. I don't do stimulants. I don't do that. I may drink a purple stick. We have those in stock, which is green tea. I may do that. But as far as going out and sucking down 6 or 8 cups of coffee 4 or 5 times a day trying to keep going, I don't do that because that's a dead-end street. You can't get anywhere on that one anyhow because that cortisol is elevated in the body when you drink coffee. And when that cortisol gets elevated, it really disrupts your sleep patterns. And so you're waking up all night trying to get back to sleep. And you're off and on, off and on, off and on. You go to bed exhausted. You get up exhausted. You go through the day exhausted. You go to bed exhausted. You get up exhausted. All day long, that's what you're doing. You're playing that blood sugar, adrenaline, emotional fatigue roller coaster. And it's not a good thing to do, Dave. Ever is that a good thing to do.
So you tell people avoid coffee at all costs?
I do, Dave. I'll have a cup every once in a while because I really like coffee. I got really addicted to it when I was in college. I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day when I was in graduate school at Florida State. And it got to the point that I just couldn't go without it because my body was so accustomed to drinking that much. I had a big German Bierstein, and I would drink 6 cups. It would hold 6 cups of coffee, and I'd have to fill that thing up first thing in the morning. Then about lunch, I'd fill it up again. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock, I'd fill it up again. And then I'd go to bed that night and sleep until I woke up in the middle of the night from elevated cortisol. And I was just tired, exhausted all the time. It was during that time that I came down with pericarditis and I almost died from it right out of graduate school at Florida State. And that's when I had to really come off the caffeine because I had to give my body a chance to recover and my adrenals to be restored. And that took a while. In fact, I literally took naps every afternoon for almost a year after I'd come back from that heart disease problem. Because, you know, pericarditis, people think that's a joke. It's not a joke. People die from it.
Well, Ted, tell us what it is.
It's an inflammation of the pericardial sac around the heart. And what had happened is that I had my teeth cleaned. And I'd been negligent on my teeth cleaning. I hadn't done it in a couple of years because I was in college and graduate school, got married, that kind of stuff, and wasn't paying any attention to it. And then what happened is I went and got it done, and the dentist the lady who did the teeth cleaning just tore me up. I mean, I was bleeding like crazy, and I got that bacteria into my blood from my teeth getting cleaned. And, you know, they were scraping it off my teeth. And what it did, it got into my bloodstream and attacked the sac around the heart. There's like a membrane around the heart. It's called the pericardial sac. And this, when you get pericarditis, you have an inflammation of that pericardial sac, and that bacteria attacks, basically tries to eat it, I guess, and it gets inflamed. You have a massive immune response. And then what happens is that sac starts to swell. You start getting swelling in the heart, water around the heart inside the sac, and it compresses the cardiac muscle. It compresses the heart. And when that happens, it feels like an elephant sitting on your chest, and it's extremely painful. And if left untreated, you can die from it. And it was crazy because back when I had it back in 1983, no one really knew what to do with it. And it was one of those things that no one understood, that there's certain types of, you know, products that you can actually take from a pharmaceutical standpoint that will lessen the severity of it. And so it was one of those things that I was sick for a while. And so I was in bed for 3 months. And so finally when I recovered from it was after I stopped eating pork and I stopped drinking coffee and I stopped eating shellfish and I stopped eating margarine and I stopped, you know, pushing myself to the end of the world as far as working 100-hour work weeks. I mean, I finally learned that I couldn't push my body like that. And so it was an interesting experience. It was an interesting experience for me that taught me a lot. I'm glad I lived through it. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's one of those things that once you get through it one time, you don't ever want to have to deal with that again. And so that's why I've been so clean with my diet for the last, you know, 40 years now, because I was not willing to go through all that nonsense again. It just wasn't worth that to me. And so it was one of those things, Dave, I just, I tell you what, it got my attention, like getting hit upside the head with a 2x4 to wake you up pretty quick. It doesn't kill you.
I hear you.
Well, you know, and so that's what happened to me. That's why I ended up, you know, going into that. Because I was already in the nutritional supplement business, but I wasn't as concerned about the diet and all the other kinds of stuff. And I was already a research biochemist trained at Florida State University. I'd already spent 400 hours in the biochemical genetics lab there. But then when I went to the medical doctors concerning the pericarditis, they couldn't help me. A naturopathic physician finally ended up helping me with that. And that's when I went back to naturopathic school. It took me 3 years to finish that degree. And then I basically, you know, had the clinic in Central Florida, and we worked with thousands and thousands of patients on a one-on-one basis, me personally, on helping them to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels, body fat, all these different things we did for them. And a lot of times we worked in conjunction with their medical doctors. That's why I know so much about this stuff, because I had hands-on personal training, you know, when I was trained here as a nutritionist and licensed in the state of Florida. And we had our clinic set up. We had our own laboratory and everything. I mean, so the whole thing about it is, guys, is that I've been doing this for a long, long time now, for 37 years. And it's something that I've actually been almost 38. This is the 38th year now. So I've been doing this for a really long time. That's why I talk a lot of times. I kind of go through this kind of quick because it's so simple to me, most of it now, because I've been doing it for so long. It's like you start talking to a car mechanic, and they'll start running through the parts of the car and the valves and the lifters and, you know, and the springs and the headers and the, you know, and the intake manifolds and the carburetor and all the different things. And they act like you understand what they're talking about, and you don't. And the reason you don't, it's not because they're smarter than you or you're smarter than them, it's they've had more experience in that particular field. And that's like, you know, why I always tell people, I always say, look, always get somebody who you know knows more about that kind of stuff than you do and listen to them. Because it's like, for instance, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I can't fix a bone or fix a break or set a splint. Can't do it. Don't know how to. Never been trained in that. So I always tell people, if you break a bone, go see the person who specializes in it. If you've gained 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, why do you want to go to a medical doctor who smokes and is overweight? I mean, think about it for what I said for a second. Why do you want to listen to a medical doctor who's got all kinds of health problems, who smokes and is overweight, when they tell you that you don't need to do this or you don't need to do that, just take your statin drugs? Why do you want to be like they are? Always look at the person who's giving you the advice and find out if you want to emulate their behavior. Because, guys, if you go to somebody who's giving you health advice and nutrition advice and they're a wreck, I mean, the average, what is the average life expectancy of a medical doctor is 56 years? I mean, it's pretty doggone short. And the sad part about it is because they don't get a lot of nutritional training, and a lot of them are really massively overworked with elevated cortisol levels. I know my sister, she went to medical school, and she took a one-hour class in nutrition. She married another medical doctor. He had never taken a class in nutrition, but yet they were trying to tell me about nutrition. I just laughed at him. I said, why are you guys talking to me about nutrition? You guys never had any training in this whatsoever. Why would I possibly listen to you about this? I said, you don't know what it is. But it wasn't until I went to a naturopath in Daytona Beach, Florida, back in 1983, that I recovered from the pericarditis. And had it not been for that guy, I would probably not be here right now, Jed. I would have probably died at a very young age, in my 20s. And so I thank God Almighty that I had an open enough mind, and I realized that the medical professionals were not helping me with the problems that I was having, and I was willing to look elsewhere. Which, guys, think about it for a second. If everything you're trying and doing is all it is adding more and more drugs to your regimen, if you're taking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 prescription drugs and you feel worse, then they give you 5 more to take and you feel even worse, and they give you 5 more to take and now you're even worse. I mean, where do you want to draw that line? Where do you want to say, I'm not taking any more of these drugs? So what I always tell people is this. Go to a medical doctor who doesn't believe in all this drug intervention. Find out what you can get off of with that person. You know, contact us. We'll tell you what you can do from a healthy standpoint. Clear that through your medical doctor and then see where you want to go with it. And see, I always tell folks, if you've got a cholesterol issue, it's too easy to fix that via diet. There is absolutely no reason to take a statin drug with over 300 side effects, including skeletal muscle necrosis, kidney failure, liver cancer, liver failure, all these different other cancers, and hardening of the arteries. Why in the world do you want to take a product that causes hardening of the arteries and calcification of the arterial walls? Why would you take that if that's what it's trying to prevent? It's trying to reduce your risks of heart disease. And the studies have never proven for one second that statin drugs increase life expectancy, nor do they reduce the risks of heart disease. All it does is bring your cholesterol down to such a low level you can no longer produce testosterone. You feel absolutely awful, and it makes your brain go to mush, and you have no memory. So why in the world, when you can do a dietary approach to healthy cholesterol, why wouldn't you try that first? That's what I always ask people, Dave, is why not try the healthy approach first? Like I told you with your knee, when you have your knee problems. I said, Dave, try this joint product we've got. It does a great job. It may or may not help. I don't know. You could always go under the knife. But try this first. If this works, you may avoid the surgeon's scalpel. And you tried it, and it worked great. Same thing with your back. Same thing with I tell people all of the time. Before you go underneath the surgeon's knife and you go under general anesthesia, which people die under general anesthesia from the general anesthesia, before you put yourself into that situation where you have a possibility of dying, try a natural approach. I had an aunt a few years ago, Dave. Her name was, I'm not going to mention her name. I'll mention her name. I'll mention the last name. Her first name was Audrey. Wonderful, wonderful lady. She was in her early 80s, and she was having a problem with a leaky valve in her heart. And it was not even affecting her. I mean, she could walk 3 or 4 miles pushing a baby carrier. She was doing great. In fact, the day before the surgery, she went on a 2-mile walk with her daughter pushing a baby carrier. I mean, she was doing great. And I told Audrey, I said, do you really want to go in and have surgery on your heart, and you're 80 years old and you're like 50, 60 pounds overweight? I said, it's going to put too much stress, too much risk on your heart. She said she wanted to do it. I called up her daughter, who was a physical therapist, and her physical therapist's daughter had told her not to do it. I told her not to do it. And then I told her physical therapist's daughter, I said, they're probably going to kill her with this surgery. And she goes, I know, I'm trying to tell her not to do it. I said, the side effects are too great. And then, of course, they tell Audrey that it's a routine surgery, there's nothing wrong with it. And, of course, she goes in and she dies. I actually went to Iowa and I preached her funeral. And she was probably one of the finest people I've ever met. My mother-in-law, her husband came in, had some heart chest pains, had a partial blockage in his artery. They wanted to do cardiovascular bypass surgery on him. His name was Warren. And he went in, and I warned him that you can go to your local doctor, get chelation therapy, start on supplements, do all kinds of things rather than go in under the knife. He went under the knife. They told him it was a routine surgery, nothing would go wrong. And of course, during the surgery, he had a stroke, being on the heart-lung bypass machine, was never the same again. And then a few years later, he died from another stroke, which could have been induced from the pressure caused by the heart-lung bypass machine. And I can tell you story after story. Another one, my niece. My sister, you know, I didn't tell you this, Dave. I shouldn't drop it on the air like this. My half-sister died last week. And she was from my dad's first marriage. I didn't know her very well. I probably only had met her probably a dozen times. Mm-hmm. And she was a nice lady, but she was having health problems, and she had fluid on her lungs, and she was in an assisted care living facility. And I told my niece, I said, what you need to do is go ahead and have her get a vitamin C IV, get her up walking around, and get her system and her immune system back up to par. And she goes, well, no, what they want to do is they want to give her, they want to put her under general anesthesia, and they want to drain her lung because she's got some fluid on her lung. I said, no, they don't. They said that she got insurance. They just want to collect more insurance from her. I said, they're probably going to kill her with this procedure, and she'll never recover from it. And sure enough, like within 30 days after the surgery, she died. And, I mean, all of this stuff is in my own family, Dave. I mean, you know, because you can't make people do what they don't want to do. I mean, my brother-in-law, Sharon's half-brother, Todd, from her husband, her dad's second marriage, he ended up being a doggone, you know, drug addict, and he ended up dying of a heroin overdose 2.5 years ago. I mean, it happens all the time. Another friend of my mother-in-law, her grandson died this past week from a heroin overdose. He was 22 years old. But you tell parents, you tell people, you tell everybody you possibly can, there are healthy alternatives to all these drugs, all these different things that people do. Why don't you try the healthy alternative first? I mean, why do you want to be on this drug, that drug, this drug, that drug, and you know, spend $1,000 a month on drugs when you may not take anything but a bottle of multiple vitamins and a dietary and lifestyle change to get it taken care of? And that's why we say to people all of the time, set your goals up, set your New Year's resolutions up. And one other thing I want to just really urge you guys today, because I mean, we're about done with this topic right now. If you're going to do a goal, let's say you want to lose 100 pounds, and you want to put that in your house so you can see the goal every day, put it on your mirror in your bathroom where nobody else sees it, and just put it on a poster board and put a goal up there, a picture maybe where you were younger and you weighed 100 pounds less, and you say, I'm going to lose 2 pounds a week, my incremental goals for the next, you know, 52 weeks. And just do that, and don't share that with all of your friends. And realize that a lot of people, they don't want to be disciplined enough to learn to try to get healthy and try to basically lose weight or increase their energy levels. And so when you put a goal out there in front of them like that, a lot of times they're going to mock you or make fun of you or ridicule you. I've had this happen in my own personal life. And it was crazy. I mean, you think these people are your friends, but they kind of start putting you down and send little barbs up. You're never going to do that. Don't you know how hard that's going to be? There's no way you can get that done in a year. Oh, look at you. That's not going to happen. And you're going to hear all of this junk all the time, all these naysayers and doomers telling you can't get it done. Don't listen to that. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to set my plans unto the Lord, and they will succeed. Tell yourself those things. Tell yourself the positive things. Say, I always eat clean every day of my life. I always feel great. When you pray, pray those things. Pray the affirmations, the positive things, as if you've already received your healing or your weight loss or whatever. Pray in the past tense. Thank you, Father, that I've lost 2 pounds this week. Now, you may not have lost 2 pounds. Just thank Him that you've lost it. That's faith. And see, that's the thing when we do this for an unseen realm, and this spiritual realm that we're in, it changes everything. That's why the world is doing everything it possibly can to keep us off our knees. Let me give you an example. I went to see that movie over the holidays, Daddy's Home 2. I walked out of it after the second homosexual kiss of it. I had enough of that. First homosexual kiss, I said, well, I'm going to pass on this. It's looking pretty bad. Almost walked out. Sharon says, give it a chance. Maybe it'll get better. Second homosexual kiss. Now, you say, well, I saw the movie. It didn't have any homosexual kisses. It was a father kissing his son on the mouth, and they were both adults. Guys, newsflash. These guys are actors. It's not father and son. It's not father and son. I walked out, got a refund on the ticket, said, I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to watch this filth. And guys, this is what Hollywood does to us on an ongoing basis, because Hollywood has what we call an atavistic hatred towards Christians. It's a deep generational hatred. This is why they do what they do with pornography. Remember, 99% of the porn comes out of Hollywood, out of California, out of the United States, globally. Well, probably 95%. But it's all controlled by the same mafia in Hollywood. You say, well, why do they hate everybody so badly? Well, Freud said it very succinctly. He said that the Christian believers, the white Christian believers in Europe, had put their values and their basically their rules on the entire population of Europe, and the white Christian people could not do that, and they should fight against having the values put on them by the white Christians. Now, there are also good quality, high quality, you know, black Christians and Spanish Christians and all kinds of other Christians. This is what Freud said, though, back in the early 1900s. Now, what's interesting about Freud, Freud was a Sabbatean Kabbalist. He was a Luciferian, along with his, you know, with his cousin over there, the guy who started advertising. And the thing about it is that these guys were doing everything they possibly could to wreck the planet as far as Christianity was concerned, because they had a multi-generational, a 2,000-year, 1,900-year hatred of Christianity and of Christians. And see, this is the problem that we run into, Dave, when we watch Hollywood and we see the trash. You know, Jennifer Lawrence has come out and has done that movie this past year called Mother, in which at the end of the movie they take the baby out that was born and they actually eat the child. I mean, this is a sick stuff, so I'll never watch another one of her movies. Today, you know, Will Smith came out and slammed Trump. I mean, slammed Trump. And I thought to myself, Will Smith, what difference does it make? I don't care for Trump either. I voted for him, but he's basically purged the White House of, you know, of nationalists and put all globalists in. Something's wrong in the White House, too. The CIA is under firm control. I mean, we know that, but there's no point in slamming the guy and saying that you're ashamed of every word he says and everything that he does. Because, guys, it's not okay to do all of that stuff. I mean, he's a person who basically profits from all of the people that go to see his movies. I mean, why are you going to take giant swaths of the population and completely and totally insult them over this situation that's in the White House? Let me read this article real quick. This is from Soccer. A lot of people, the Soccer. In 2018, he says, the war or no war. This is how he starts it off. He goes, in the first month of 2017 were a time of great hopes following the historic defeat of Hillary Clinton. The year is ending in a somber, almost menacing manner. Not only has the swamp easily, quickly, and totally drowned Donald Trump, but the Anglo-Zionist Empire is reeling from its humiliating defeat in Syria, and the neocons and the Zionists are now treating our entire planet to a never-ending barrage of threats. I mean, this is an interesting article you need to read. Everybody needs to read it. And then another article that was posted, you know, that was done by E.J. Griffin, the guy who wrote Creature from Jekyll Island, he said it this way. He said, the rift between Bannon and Trump is about a purge of the nationalists. And this is the write-up he did about an article that had been posted online and a video that had been posted by political analyst Jake Morfinos. He says, Jake Morfinos comments on the rift between Steve Bannon and the President Trump. Jake defines nationalism as a belief that governments are best when representatives are elected from small geographical areas as close as possible to the people they represent. Globalists believe, however, that it is best when most governing bodies are not elected at all, but are composed of administrators appointed by globally cohesive groups of political and financial professionals. I hear Goldman Sachs right there, by the way, who instead of following the wishes of the people, determine policies based on what they think is best for society. Then he goes on to say, to bring this about, globalists believe that nations must be stripped of sovereignty and be merged into a global political structure. When Donald Trump came into office, his first appointments consisted of one-third nationalists and two-third globalists. Those are all the guys from Goldman Sachs and the guys like Gottlieb. Since then, all nationalists, including Bannon, have been removed. Today, there are no nationalists left. They're all globalists, almost all Goldman Sachs cronies. As far as foreign policy and monetary policy are concerned, Jake concludes that our White House is now totally controlled by the deep state. Now, a lot of you guys won't like that, because you were hoping for something else from Donald Trump. But guys, you've got to think through what he's done. You've got to think through what he's promoted. And now he's tried to stop Michael Wolff's book. And, you know, it's interesting about that. WikiLeaks leaked that entire book today, you know, online. It's free. You can just pick it up. You get a PDF offline now for free on it. And the crazy thing about it is, when Donald Trump tried to stop that book and censor the book and prevent its release from the publisher this week, I decided I was going to buy a copy. I had no interest in buying that book or reading that book until Donald Trump wanted to basically stop. And here's why
he made a mistake.
He made a huge there's 100 times more books are going to be that book will be read now than ever would have been read, because quite frankly, you know what I said? Yeah, fine if you want to buy it. Who cares? It's a bunch of junk, a bunch of lies. You know, it's written all by the communists. Go ahead and buy it. Waste your money. That's what I would have said. but try to legally stop it and get into a feuding war with Steve Bannon on Twitter, basically calling him an imbecile and a nut that he cried when he was fired. Instead of saying nonsense like that, just say, hey, if you want to read a bunch of junk, read it. I don't care. It's all a bunch of lies. And walk away from it.
That's what he should have said.
And nobody would have read it. But him trying to stop Bannon legally, try to file a lawsuit on him now to destroy him, and to stop the publisher from releasing it and printing it, come on, guys. We're past the book burning phase. The only time I ever burn a book is if I'm reading it or throw it away. If I'm reading it and it gets weird. When I'm talking weird, I'm talking it starts getting like satanic stuff weird that I didn't know that was in there. I take that thing up. Immediately it goes in the round file, I burn it or I throw it away. It goes out of the house. But as far as reading other stuff that's not satanic, why don't we all read what we want to read? And how about we use our own brains that God gave us? And how about we draw our own conclusions? I know that Wolf's probably got some stuff in there that's probably exaggerated or hyperbole. I got that. I think I'm perfectly capable of doing my own research on some of this stuff and finding out what's hyperbole and not. But maybe we need to find out how the neocons and the doggone these Zionists have gone in now, taken control of the White House, and have basically purged the nationalists out. And maybe we need to realize that some of that stuff is really true. Maybe Bannon's trying to reveal that in the book. And maybe these guys don't want us to know what's happened in the White House. Because guys, you know, what happened to make America great again? What happened to that? What happened about ending these never-ending wars in the Middle East? What happened about not getting involved in these conflicts? What happened to all of that rhetoric we heard from Donald Trump when he was running for president? Now the Mossad and Israel and Great Britain and the United States are all in cahoots to go into Iran, attack Iran, and try to overthrow the government in Iran. I mean, when did we get into this? Oh, that's right. We did get into this back in 1947 when the CIA started. Oh, that's right. We're back in. We've overthrown over 50 countries now and, you know, disposed their leadership. I mean, why do we not think that the rest of the world thinks we're the greatest terrorist nation in the world because of what we've done? Look at Libya. Look at Egypt. Look at Iraq. Look at what we've done. Look at all the central banks that the Rothschild banking cartel have put into power now in all these countries that we've overthrown. Why? Because they want their global one world power. They want their global one world government. These are the globalists. These are the CFR guys. This goes right back to the Treaty of Versailles. This goes right back to the Council on Foreign Relations. This goes right back to, you know, all of the stuff that happened, you know, with the League of Nations. All of this stuff happened back in 1918, 19, 20, 21, and all of this stuff is pushing towards that one world government. These guys want to do everything they possibly can to bring in an Antichrist, to bring in this kingdom that they want, to force the end times to come into play, because they've read the Scofield Bible for so long and they believe all of that stuff. It had never even been taught for the first 1850 years of Christianity. And it saddens me, Dave, that Christians don't go back and look at what the Scofield commentary did in promoting all this Zionism stuff. Guys, here's the thing. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. That's very, very important if people know that. There are a lot of God-fearing Jews that are really, really good people that have done nothing wrong to anybody. These Zionists are the ones that are pushing their agendas, and they don't care what they do to create this world war, because these guys at the top, these guys who call themselves the benign D Nephilim that are running these things, pulling the strings, these are basically prodigy of Lucifer himself. They trace their lineage all the way back to Cain, back in the Garden of Eden. And these guys are Luciferians. They worship Satan. They practice Kabbalah. They're into the magic arts. They're into sorcery and witchcraft. That's who runs this thing. We've got our elected officials. They've given the government over to the military-industrial complex. They've given it over to the CIA. The CIA's given it to these Sabbatean Kabbalists, and they've given it over to Lucifer. And that's the pyramid of how it shakes down. And everything is to bring in their Antichrist. So he pierced himself in the temple they want to rebuild, and basically calling himself the ruler of the planet, and then bring in the kingdom of Lucifer. That's the goal of these guys, and that's the problem, is they're playing all these shell games with us, and they've blinded the hearts and the minds of the Christians who are really well-meaning in the United States to believe this rhetoric from the Scofield Bible. And Chuck Baldwin wrote an article this past week. You guys go to his website and read it. It was the last article he wrote, and it talks about this exact very topic and how the Christians have been blindsided and blinded, and it's no matter what Israel wants to do, no matter what the Zionists want to do, no matter what Netanyahu wants to do, they get a pass. It doesn't matter what they do to Palestine. They've turned that thing into just a hellhole. It doesn't matter what they do to those people over there. We have to completely ignore it. This past week, it was so funny. I got to give Israel kudos for this. They told the people that had come in from Africa, some 38,000 that were still left, that had come in before they built the big wall with Egypt, they told them basically that they were going to give them $3,500 and a ticket to go back to their hometowns, home countries like Sudan. And if they did not, they were going to put them in Israeli prison, Dave. This was the last edict out of Benjamin Netanyahu. They're going to put them in Israeli prison. I'll read you the article here. Another one And here's what it says. It says, Israel announced it would pay African migrants living in the country illegally $3,500 each plus a free airline ticket to return to their home countries or third world countries like Rwanda and Uganda. Officials told the immigrants they would face jail time if they don't leave by spring. This is from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who characterized the resettlement of African migrants in Israel as disruptive to the country's culture and social cohesion. Now, here's the thing. Israel can do this. And if we said to the illegals in the United States, the folks that have come over, either you leave here with a check for $3,500, or we are going to put you in prison, the entire world would blow a head gasket. They couldn't believe that we had said something like that. But see, when the Zionists say stuff, whenever they want to do stuff like, you know, Netanyahu's a really strong Zionist, when they say stuff like that, and then all of the people in the United States, the Christians who've been blinded by the Scofield Bible, they say, oh, wow, okay, that's cool. And where is the left, the media, that is so adverse to, quote-unquote, discrimination in the United States, saying anything about what Netanyahu said about putting these guys who've been living there, some of these guys have been there for years and years and years, putting them in jail if they don't leave? This is the craziest thing. And Germany can't say anything about it. They've been basically banned on Twitter, banned on Facebook, locked up in jail for talking about what's going on. Did you read what the one lady said, that one German Congress lady, the equivalent of, said last week? She goes, basically, Germany has been overrun by gangs of barbaric Muslim hordes. No, gang raping Muslim hordes. And see, she said that, she got herself censored and got in all kinds of trouble with the government. But here is Israel turning right around and saying, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically give you $3,500 or you're going to go to jail.
Doing the same thing here, Ted. California is prosecuting a man for his rants about Muslims, no threatening, on Facebook. It's already happening here.
I know. And the thing about, here's the thing, guys. Where did the United States go? I mean, I talked to a gentleman today. I met him for the first time, talked to him. I said, you know, I was born in 1955. Yeah, I'm not a youngster anymore. I'm 62. And I said, here's the thing I've learned. The America that I knew, that my children will never know, from the 50s, was, you know, Father's Knows Best. You know, Gomer Pyle, USMC. Hogan's Heroes, I Dream of Jeannie. The incredible, you know, Talking Mr. Ed or whatever it was. And I Dream of Jeannie. And all of these really clean sitcoms without sex, without filthy language, without all of this stuff. Today, I was actually surprised. Hollywood put a movie out. It's called The Greatest Showman, and Hugh Jackman stars in that. And my wife and I went to see that. No bad language, no sex, great acting. It had a lot of songs in it, but I got used to those. And it was like an old musical from way back when, like, you know, The Sound of Music. And quite frankly, it was excellent. It's probably the best movie I've seen in a couple of years. And, you know, but it hasn't done much at the box office. Why? Because it's a clean, wholesome family movie. I mean, nobody wants to talk about it. You know, nobody wants to go see it. And the sad part about it is, we have allowed these guys, this atavistic hatred of Hollywood, to come in and undermine the moral culture of the United States now. For, you know, when McCarthy talked about what happened in Hollywood with the communists, he was absolutely right. And of course, he was vilified, eviscerated, and everything else. And Myron Fagan, if you guys have ever pulled the audio clips up on Myron Fagan's work, he was actually in Hollywood. He was a producer, and he did huge discussions online. You can get them now. They're all free. And the one guy who got killed a few years ago, David, what's his name? He was the guy, oh my gosh, the guy who...
Back from Hogan's Heroes?
No, not Hogan. He had a radio talk show. He was a conservative commentator.
Oh, God, yeah, he was from Denver. His name jumped out of my head.
It'll come to me in a second. If you go, you know, the time today, the time of the day, or the day of the time, or something like that. I forgot his name. Oh, gosh, I know his name. You know his name too, Dave. But he has all of those recordings on Myron Fagan still on his website. And you know, Bill Nichols. It was Bill something. And he'd gotten into a big rift with Alex Jones and a bunch of other stuff that had happened. And basically, he wrote that one book, The Pale Horse, or something like that. He wrote all this. Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
That's the right name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was that his name? Was that his name, Dave?
No.
Wasn't Bill Hicks?
Oh, I'll explain it to you off air. I don't want to get sued.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about it. Well, anyhow,
that's all right.
Forget this conversation ever occurred. Go find Myron Fagan's information as far as what he's talking about, as far as, you know, what the communist scare was in Hollywood and what happened, Dave. And you'll understand what they've done and how they subverted everything. That's, like I need to stop talking until you tell me.
It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. It's out there.
Well, yeah, I've never talked to you about this guy, so you may not have liked the guy.
It's okay. I know who you're talking about. His name has jumped out of my head, and I was supposed to have him on my show before his demise. Gosh, I can't think of his name, but no, it wasn't Bill Hicks.
Well, who was Bill Hicks?
I don't want to say on air.
Oh, okay. Oh, William Cooper. William Cooper. Oh,
that's it, yes.
Bill Cooper. But on his website, on his website, I'm not even promoting what he said. I'm just saying on his website are the recordings of Myron Fagan, and you can listen to him on his website.
Yeah, that's true. And he told a lot of things, Bill Cooper did, about what was coming. Not to be confused with Bill Hicks.
Well, I just found something called Bill Hicks on him. No, this is Bill. There are two completely different people. I don't even know.
Stay on with me. Stay on with me after we go to break. But yeah, this is a good time. Let me just interject something here too, while I regain my bearings here. Ted, as you've heard, is with Health Masters, and I go to Health Masters before I go to my own doctor. There's nothing wrong with my doctor, except he's good for what I need that Health Masters can't do for me, which isn't very much. We're talking ruptured disc in the back. We're talking partially torn MCL, blood sugar issues, you know, all the stuff that happens to you when you get to be an old fart. Excuse the French, but it's true. And Health Masters, you can stockpile their stuff. So if you're looking to save for a rainy day, like we stockpile food and water, you can't stockpile prescription medications. I don't know that you'd want to, but you couldn't anyway if you wanted to, not legally. But you can stockpile this stuff. It's great stuff, and that's why I encourage people to go to Health Masters. And also the coupon code we have for 5% off is 5COMMON. Okay, I think I've got that out of my system, Ted. Okay, stay on with me at the break. We're going to have a good laugh that'll carry into the second hour.
Well, the whole thing is this, guys. I mean, you know, this show is not scripted. Obviously, by now you know that, as you guys are all laughing with Dave. But, you know, the whole thing about it is, guys, is when Cooper put the stuff up with Fagan, Fagan was dead on. He talked about the Red Scare. And then if you want to read another one, read the one that's called Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. He also wrote another one, that his unfinished book, that is phenomenal. It's Satan is the Prince of This World. And he also has another one. It's called The Red Fog Over America. And you say, well, what is all that? Why are you talking about all this stuff? Well, guys, it's the same subversive groups that have done all of this stuff throughout the ages. These are you can track them all the way back to the Druidic worship, the Satan worship. You know, they were called the Synagogue of Satan in the New Testament. I mean, all of the same guys. And that's not to confuse these guys with God-fearing, God-loving Jewish people. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Luciferians who masquerade as something other than they are. And it's something that we all need to understand, that all of us are going to be exposed to this kind of stuff, and we have to realize, are we going to be sufficiently awake that somebody brings some of this stuff up to us that we can actually refute what they're saying and actually have a coherent argument as to what they're saying? And if you listen to those Myron Fagan talks, I mean, he was the one who actually exposed the Hollywood Red List, actually read it out at a seminar in one of his plays that he was giving during the end of the show, and actually listed a bunch of the Hollywood actors who were card-carrying members of the Communist Party who were trying to subvert the American culture and the way of life in the United States back in the 40s and in the 50s and in the 60s. These are the same groups that came over to the United States after World War I. And then also into the 30s, and they're also ones that started a lot of these different the Frankfurt School and a lot of other guys. These are the same clowns that did all of that stuff, and this is the same battle that we're still having to fight today, because we did not allow ourselves to be purged of this stuff, and we allowed it to stay in Hollywood, and we allowed it to come into our school systems and basically turn us into this mess. And in fact, Chuck Baldwin talks about a lot of the same stuff, not these particular words, but he talked about a lot of what's happened in the United States and what's happened to our culture in the last 50 years, and he links it all back to a lot of this stuff, Dave. And his last call.
Well, the Red Scare with Senator McCarthy was the real deal. And the media did to him what they do to Donald Trump. And, you know, and I want to go back to something you said earlier, too. You are so right on the money. And I've talked about this at length. In fact, it was Ed Snowden that recently came out and said that, you know, when you have censorship, that leads to revolution, because that makes people more determined when they have to go underground with their beliefs. And you would think that the deep state would have learned that, and we wouldn't see the repressive censorship that we see from YouTube and Google and so forth, because you look at Donald Trump in the primary election, 16 candidates against him, the entire media, and I mean the entire media, and the American people saw right through it, and they said they're ganging up on him, and obviously they're afraid of what he's saying, and that's what happens in censorship, Ted, is that people side with the underdog, and they say, I don't want to hear, and Trump should have said it, like you said, it's a bunch of nonsense, but be my guest, knock yourself out, read it, but it's just more of CNN in a book. That's what I would have called it.
That's exactly right. I mean, had he done that, Dave, the book would have, they wouldn't be getting all this traction. They were trying to find something they could just inflame him with, and they did. They found it. And now he's got himself a mess because WikiLeaks just dumped the doggone thing online for everybody to read. Like I said, I had no intention of even bothering to read it. I thought it was going to be more drivel. But I am not about a book burning stuff. I'm not about that. I mean, I always tell people, you know, I'll send out some emails. I've got a private list here at my house. I send about a dozen emails out a day or so. I'll say many times, I'll say, look, I don't even know what this says, but it looks interesting. Let me know if there's something on it I shouldn't have promoted or whatever, but I'm not promoting it. I'm letting you guys know that I'm not going to try to censor information from you. Make up your own minds on what you believe. And that, and I always tell them to look through a Christian lens to try to see it. And that's why, you know, a lot of the stuff that David Icke talks about, I don't agree with that stuff, but David Icke gets it right probably about 70% of the time. And so I agree with his 70%. And so that's what I always tell people. Just look at it through a Christian lens and make sure you filter it that way. That way you're not going to get yourself into a mess.
Yeah, that's good advice, Ted. No. Well, Ted, we're out of time. And again, I want to tell everyone, best healthcare company, in my humble opinion, out there, healthmasters.com. And we have that coupon code going for our audience here at the Common Sense Show. Ted is also on Global Star. Ted, I get confused with the time zones. You're on at what time Eastern?
I'm on Eastern every day from 3 to 4. It's also available in the archives at healthmasters.com. Also, you can listen to it every night after the Hagman and Hagman broadcast. We play a rerun there, and that's at 10 p.m. at night. So you can hear it multiple places, or you can hear it on the archives. The show's gotten really, really big, and quite frankly, we're pretty excited about the growth that we've had this past couple of years. And we've had a lot more people add to the show. And so I want to, by the way, if you guys listen to the show on a regular basis, I thank you. And
it is a good show. Absolutely a great show, Ted. It is. It's a tremendous show. I catch it when I can. We are out of time, my friend. We got to scoot. We'll see everybody else in hour number two. Ted, stay on with me.